Let's turn to God's Word. Isaiah chapter 14, from verse 12 until verse 15. Isaiah 14, from verse 12. This is a very intriguing passage of the Bible. It talks to us of things about which the rest of Scripture, with perhaps one exception, two exceptions, says very little. Although it is in a passage dealing with the fall, I think, of a particular king of Babylon, the Holy Spirit, through Isaiah's pen, then appears to treat with the fall of the devil himself. Now, it could be that we are just talking about a particularly unpleasant king of Babylon, but I think Isaiah is in fact comparing the two. This powerful king of a powerful empire, who, like Nebuchadnezzar, set himself up to be worshipped, is not, of course, unlike Satan himself, who wields a great deal of political power as the god of this world. We know that he has a throne or two on the earth. We know that all false religion and devotion is directly or indirectly focused upon him. So let's look at verse 12. How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. In fact, I'll read the whole passage. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farther sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. And we have there, certainly in verse 15, an echo of what we had in verses 9, 10 and 11 beforehand. Now, the reason I and a great many smarter people than I think that the passage is not dealing with the king of Babylon is that the king of Babylon never fell from heaven. He may have claimed that an ancestor of his did, but of course he did not. He was just a man. But here we are dealing, I think, with a fallen angel. Now, that there is another passage which perhaps speaks of this event. Now, when this event occurred, I'm not altogether clear. Some argue it happened after the beginning of the creation of the world, but clearly before the fall of Adam. Or is it happening in a period before what we can call time? I don't know. I dare say you may have your theories about it. But what we do have here is a falling. Now, we know that Adam and we in Adam fell in Eden. But there was another fall, a fall of angels. Now, again, I know I repeat myself, but angels, let's understand, these are powerful, incredible, spiritual beings, of which I think there are a great many species. For example, seraphim and cherubim. And there was a fall, there was a rebellion in the heavenly spiritual dimension, unconnected to the fall of humans, though of course the serpent initiated the fall of Adam. And here we have a falling from heaven, O Lucifer, bright one, or shining one, son of the morning, or son of the dawn. And God made these angels to be incredibly beautiful and powerful. And it is said, whether it can be entirely proven from Scripture, I don't know, that Lucifer was the most beautiful of all of them. However, he has been cut down to the ground. He who was high has now been made low. He was in the heavens, but he has been sent down. If you recall in the book of Job, where has Satan been? Going to and fro in the earth. There is an idea, not from the Bible, really from paganism, that the devil lives in hell. and he has a little chair set up and a pitchfork, and there he sits. That is a dim recollection of Hades. The devil does not live in hell. He will one day. Mm. That's the last place he wants to be. If you want to find the devil, I believe you'll find him here on the earth. You have been cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. Now, there is overlap here between the Babylonian king, who has a habit of attacking and destroying nations, but also Satan, who weakened the nations in Adam. Thanks to his ministrations, we were all given sinful, wayward natures. And I think in that title, him being the god of this world, he has power and influence over many wicked empires and religions to this day. And then we find out what he did, or a little bit of what he did wrong. You have said in your heart. Notice there are five I wills here. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. And evidently he has set his own will to be contrary to God's will. Well, what does he will? I will ascend into heaven. Now, we know that he has fallen from heaven. I saw Satan fall like lightning, said the Lord himself. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Is that a reference to other angelic beings there? The idea of stars, and the morning stars sang for joy. Job uses the expression to speak of angelic creatures. I will sit on the mount of the congregation. I'm not altogether clear what that means. There is a tradition of a particular mountain in Syria where the Canaanite gods were said to dwell, perhaps very similar to Mount Olympus, where the Greek deities were said to dwell. Is he saying, I am going to receive worship on that mountain where the pagans go to gather for worship? I am going to go there and I will receive that worship. They're going to gather to me. I will make it the mount of the congregation. On the farther sides of the north. I don't think being a northerner there's anything especially wicked about the north, but certainly the north is the direction from which the Babylonians and the Assyrians and all the other horrible empires, apart from Egypt, would come to invade Israel. They became associated with the north. Whether it is a connection to that, I don't know. I've heard other theories about what it means by the north. You know, Satan has a throne in the North Pole. I'm not entirely convinced by that. I must level with you. He goes on. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. There is a sense here of him trying to get higher and higher and higher. I'm reminded of the Tower of Babel, where humans try and get higher and higher and higher. And of course, God has none of it. God here is called the Most High. And what does Lucifer want? I will be like the Most High. What does he whisper to Eve? You will be like God. Mm-hmm. What a false prophet's promise. You will be like God. We Christians are called by God, we're loved by God, we are in relationship with God, and we are becoming more Christ-like. But here, this is not Lucifer saying, I want to be more like God in terms of his character and his holiness, but I want God's power. I want God's majesty. I want all the trappings of wealth and glory and splendor. I want them for me. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Contrast him with the angels in the throne room of heaven beheld by Isaiah in the 6th chapter. They sing not of themselves or what they want, but rather they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. They direct their energies and their desires and their ambitions into bringing glory to God. Here, Lucifer is directing his energies and powers into bringing glory to himself. I was speaking to a Christian who doesn't go to our church on Monday night. I called round for a visit. He was feeling down. And we were talking about various people we knew, who again will not be named. And he made a very perceptive comment. He said they're more interested in the kingdom of self. And here we have Lucifer establishing his own kingdom with his own followers, its own area. He will be like God. And yet Isaiah, through the Spirit, sees the end of it all. Yet you shall be brought down. Now, in verse 12, he falls from heaven. In verse 15, he even falls from the earth. You will be brought down to Sheol, that is meaning the place of the dead, or the pit, to the lowest depths of the pit. You could translate it hell, you could translate it the underworld. But this powerful being, with all the light and the glory and the majesty, sets up a rival kingdom to the kingdom of God. In fact, it will not last. Its days are numbered. All kingdoms whose king is not the God of heaven, their days are numbered. Their years are limited. And Lucifer has been ruling for several thousand years now, at least. But one day he will be judged. And he will be thrown into that pit. And no longer will he tempt, no longer will he pull strings, no wonder will he set up rights and empires throughout the world. We are living in a world which is scarred and ruined by what he gets up to. But we know from the book of Revelation that one day the kingdom of Christ will cover the whole earth and there will not be room for him. It's good news to know that we are on the winning side. Someone prayed before about watching the news. I don't watch the news anymore, okay, so things will happen that I am not aware of. But if you watch the news day in, and my mother, my late mother, she watched the news starting at 4 o'clock in the morning. And she stayed watching it until 10 a.m. because she liked to know, she had to go to work at some point. She loved the news. She knew everything that was going on around the world. If you watched the news, you would think that he was on the winning side. Fewer people claiming to be Christians in Britain than ever before, probably until early Anglo-Saxon times. That's what we're going back to. We're going back to the old paganism. It looks like he's winning. But he doesn't win. He doesn't win. He is going to be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. That's good news. Amen. Amen.